Remember when RFK Jr. announced that he would solve autism by September? Well, it's September.
Oh
And drumroll,
no.
it sounds like he thinks he solved it.
Rolling forward, Dr. Sister Science Facts.
This is our new setup.
Yes, you can't see us, but we're in a new space.
We have co-opted my parents' apartment while they're away.
Thank you, Mom and Dad. We are ready to go. Welcome to this week's episode of the Rolling Forward podcast.
I'm Dr. Alicia Rowland.
I'm Dr. Stephanie Rowland.
I'm a pediatrician.
And I am a psychiatrist. Still, I've been a psychiatrist every week. Still a psychiatrist.
We split our time between clinical work and research.
And we do this podcast in order to help demystify the news. And quick PSA before we start. Like always, this is just general info and not personal medical advice. So if something in this episode resonates with you, I really encourage you to make an appointment with your family's doctor in order to talk about the specifics of your situation.
So, Stephanie, remember when RFK Jr. announced that he would solve autism by September by pinpointing the environmental toxin that was behind it?
I remember when he was so specific. Was this back in June? And he was like, by September, I will know. And I was like, that's not how research works.
Well, it's September.
Oh, no.
And drumroll. It sounds like he thinks he solved it.
There's no way. Like, I've never had a research project be that on track that I cannot imagine that he has come up with a solution on this quick turnaround that he has created.
He's just motivated. Scientists have never been motivated before.
I'm just thinking of how motivated I am to do my projects, and delays are just part of what happened.
It's not like people have been trying to identify cause and treatment of autism for decades.
But he said in June he was going to solve it by September, and Alicia, did he?
Da-da-da-da! Rumors are, well, he's blaming Tylenol.
Oof. So I have seen some headlines on this. And if you have also seen some pretty scary headlines about Tylenol in pregnancy, you're not alone.
So the U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., has been teasing a report that is coming out that links Tylenol during pregnancy to autism.
So you're telling me this report is not even out yet? He's just teasing a report?
Not even out yet.
And this is not a peer-reviewed study either. This is a report that he's posting on his own platform.
Correct. His platform being the federal government.
I mean, that's a pretty good platform, but still, this is not a peer-reviewed study. So, Alicia, tell me.
Here's the nutshell. News outlets are reporting that RFK Jr. plans to suggest that prenatal Tylenol, or fancy word, acetaminophen,
or for those of you in Europe, paracetamol,
could be linked to autism. And he even has a cure. He floats a possible cure for this. He says that folinic acid might be the treatment for some symptoms.
What? What?
The manufacturer of Tylenol, which is Kenvue, has pushed back. HHS has now also put up some caution, being like, it's premature. The report's not even out yet.
But he's the one teasing it.
That's correct. His own department's like, hold up.
We teased it. We're taking it back. I don't know what we're doing. The report's not out yet. But it sounds like the headlines are already stressing people out.
So much so that the stock for Kenvue dropped by nearly 15% in one day.
That feels huge.
I mean, it's Tylenol. Everybody has some in their cabinet.
I think I can see a bottle of Tylenol from where we're sitting. So, Alicia, what are we going to talk about today?
We're going to break this down and talk about it in more detail. We're going to start with, what does the studies actually show? What is the science behind prenatal Tylenol exposure and the risk of autism? We're going to talk about what professional organizations say right now, what they recommend, and we're going to talk about what practical choices make sense for families.
Before we get started, Alicia, I just want to say that some headlines will frame autism like it's the worst possible thing that could happen to a family. But that language is cruel, and it hurts autistic kids and their families. So the real question here that we're talking about today isn't about avoiding autism or eliminating people with autism from society. It's about understanding whether Tylenol affects child development in this way and what we can do to best support all children and all families, whether they're neurodivergent or neurotypical or any combination of that.
That's so true. The language in these reports can be really stigmatizing. While there are some very clear negative side effects from some medications, it is hard to speak about something like autism in such black and white terms.
Absolutely. So let's start at the top. Number one, what do high quality studies show about Tylenol and autism? And I specifically say high quality studies because there have been hundreds of studies about autism, ranging from a person on Twitter doing research, you know?
Well, we have a whole episode about Andrew Wakefield's research.
To what we would consider more gold standard, higher quality studies. So let's go get us started on this.
So there's kind of two really big threads of research in this area. So let's talk about Group A first.
Let's do it. Group A, go.
So there are a lot of large, rigorous studies that show no link between the prenatal exposure of Tylenol and the development of autism.
Okay.
So a large 2024 JAMA study followed 2.5 million children in Sweden.
That sounds like a lot of children in Sweden. That's a lot of kids.
A lot of kids. So they follow the 2.5 million children and they use sibling comparisons.
Sibling comparisons are really interesting because that's a powerful way to control for genetics and family factors. Because siblings tend to have similar genetics and live in similar family environments.
In this study, and in a lot of studies in this bucket, they've shown that prenatal Tylenol use was not associated with autism, ADHD, or intellectual disability.
So basically what you're saying is that when we compare siblings who share genetic material and are raised in similar environments, the exposure to Tylenol in utero is not associated with autism, ADHD, or intellectual disability. And this is based on a study of 2.5 million children.
And it's more than one study. There are plenty of studies in this bucket, but that's the most famous one. That's the most powerful one. But these studies are all showing no association.
That feels very reassuring. That is bucket A. So, Alicia, what's in bucket B?
Bucket B are studies that show an association, but no study has shown causation.
What does that mean?
So recently, this year, a large systematic review in environmental health actually compiled data from nearly 50 studies, and they reported that there was an association between prenatal Tylenol exposure and later diagnosis of autism or ADHD.
So, Alicia, how can both be true if bucket B is now suggesting there's an association between in utero Tylenol exposure and later developing these diagnoses?
This is a really, really good question that maybe RFK Jr. should be asking himself.
Oh, yes. Let's go.
So it's important to understand the difference between an association and causation. Causation is when something leads to the other.
So, for example, people always joke that there's an association between ice cream and sunburns, where ice creams cause sunburns, but it's actually just an association. Because hot weather makes you want to have an ice cream, and hot weather also causes sunburns. So while there's an association between ice cream and sunburns, there's no actual causal factor. Ice creams don't cause sunburns.
Shocking.
Shocking.
And this can be true for Tylenol exposure. And so if a pregnant person is taking Tylenol, they're taking Tylenol for a reason.
Like they might have a fever or an infection.
Those conditions themselves can affect fetal development.
I remember in medical school learning about the different infections that a pregnant person could have that would then cause changes in utero development.
And that's why this is a confounder.
Because a pregnant person is taking Tylenol because they have an infection, and it's the infection that would be causing maybe an increased risk of autism or ADHD, not the Tylenol that they're taking to treat that infection.
And that's why the method of these studies really matter.
Tell me more.
Sibling-controlled designs, like that first study in Sweden with the 2.5 million children.
The one that showed no relationship between Tylenol and subsequent development of autism, ADHD, or intellectual disability.
These sibling designs can control for some of these confounding factors. They can blunt some false signals from genetics and family environment.
And in comparison, the bucket B that you told me about, these reviews that are pooling multiple studies together and looking at associations, they cast a wider net. But because they mix very different study designs, they are not as well controlled.
So while this bucket of studies is showing some statistical link, they can't confirm, they can't prove Tylenol causes autism.
So in response to this, Alicia, what are professional medical organizations saying right now?
I think right now there isn't enough data to have us change our practices. That's what different organizations are saying. So ACOG, which is the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, have said to continue using Tylenol, that Tylenol remains the first-line option for pain and fever in pregnancy, and that it should be used at the lowest effect dose for the shortest time.
We always recommend the lowest effective dose for the shortest time, but they're recommending this because untreated fever and significant pain does carry risks for a pregnant person and fetus.
This is particularly important because NSAIDs,
those are the medications like ibuprofen,
have inherent risks during pregnancy.
That's why Tylenol has really become the go-to. But again, if you have a specific question about your situation, this is a great time to talk to your medical provider about it. We're simply talking about the overall known and unknown risks of these medications.
So not only has Tylenol been spamming our newsfeed about RFK Jr. may or may not be saying things.
Report may or may not be coming.
There's also been a lot on my newsfeed about lawsuits. Stephanie, can you tell me more about those?
I'm just going to be our resident legal expert. So it's true. You may have seen ads or posts about lawsuits alleging Tylenol exposure causing autism. So here is the legal status of these cases. In December of 2023, so nearly 2 years ago, there was a case coming forward about whether or not exposure to Tylenol in utero could increase the risk of autism. And at that time, a federal judge ruled that the plaintiff's expert, the plaintiff being the people saying that there is this link between Tylenol and autism, the judge said that the plaintiff's expert couldn't testify that Tylenol caused autism because there was not enough reliable scientific evidence, that the experts were not using scientific evidence, essentially. And so after that, in 2024, the court entered judgments that dismissed most of the consolidated federal cases. And later rulings, they also blocked separate claims about Tylenol causing ADHD. And so there are still some appeals happening out there. But the key point from all of this is that the evidence in court was not strong enough to move the argument forward about Tylenol having any of these impacts in utero.
So if we are saying not to use ibuprofen, not to use NSAIDs during pregnancy, and now there's all of these rumblings about Tylenol, what should we do? What should people do if they're pregnant or planning pregnancy?
So first of all, talk to your doctor, as always. But here is a general practical playbook for expectant parents. Number one, start with why. If you are considering taking Tylenol in pregnancy, why? Are you having a fever? Are you in significant pain? It's important to know that untreated fever, especially in combination with an infection, can be harmful, as can untreated pain. It is not recommended that people white knuckle pain or fever without calling their clinician. So this is a really good time to reach out if you find yourself in that situation.
Two, you should use all medications, including Tylenol, really thoughtfully. Stick to the lowest effective dose for the shortest amount of time. And keep your OBGYN, your clinician, in the loop if you need more than one dose, if you need it repeatedly.
Three, don't swap Tylenol for a different medication, like ibuprofen or a different type of NSAID, especially late in pregnancy, without first seeking guidance from your doctor. Yes, there is a lot of scary news about Tylenol right now, but the reality is that some of these other medications, like ibuprofen, have known risks in pregnancy. And so even though these medications might be safe when you're not pregnant, it's not a simple case of overlooking the Tylenol and reaching for the ibuprofen. Talk to your doctor if you're considering making a change.
I think four, zoom out from the headlines, stay off the socials, especially for attention-grabbing headlines that aren't quite backed with the science.
This is an internal report that RFK Jr. is teasing he's going to put out. It's not even put out yet. And if and when it does come out, this is not a peer-reviewed study in a scientific journal. So it's really important not to let an attention-grabbing report like this overturn the weight of evidence or professional guidance, especially when the report isn't even out yet.
I'm sorry.
It's not out. This is hilarious.
I just can't get over that.
I mean, we're teasing that a report might come out and now they're walking it back.
And lastly, your mental health matters too. If the news cycle is spiking anxiety, write down questions and bring them to your next prenatal visit. Your clinician can help you risk balance, can help you decide what's the best plan of action for you and your family.
So here's our takeaway. The evidence is mixed, and the best causal analyses so far do not show that Tylenol exposure in pregnancy causes autism, ADHD, or intellectual disability. At this time, professional groups still recommend using acetaminophen or Tylenol as the first-line option when you are experiencing fever or pain, although it should be used sparingly and with guidance. Treating your fever and your pain matters.
I'm sure this is not the last big headline we're going to have about prenatal exposures and autism. These attention-grabbing headlines are going to come time and time again in this administration, in the world that we live in right now. And it's important to build your plan with your clinician and not based on your newsfeed, not based on things that you heard on TikTok.
As we're telling you, don't get your health news from TikTok. You can still follow us on TikTok or social media. We're there. But we'll be telling you things like follow the evidence, talk to your doctor.
I think that's the difference, is that we always kind of caveat our news with check in with your physician, talk to your clinician.
But Alicia, I know the magical way that you can do X.
Is it green coffee extract? Did you learn that from Dr. Oz?
Definitely mushroom coffee. Have you had mushroom coffee?
Never.
I do not want to try that.
Never.
So with that, this has been another episode of the Rolling Forward podcast.
I'm Dr. Alicia Rowland.
I'm Dr. Stephanie Rowland.
Shoot us an email. Our email is rollinforward, R-O-L-I-N, forward show at gmail.com.
And you can also find us on all the socials where we will be doing parenting and health and bringing receipts. But if you found this helpful, please write us a review, leave us a review. That's how people can find it. You can also share this episode with a friend. You could post it to your social media feed. Spice things up a bit, no?
In response to all the Tylenol TikTok?
We're going to have to do a dance and be like, Tylenol is recommended by professional groups. Is that what the dance is doing?
Yes.
I'm fired. thank you for joining us this week.
Until next time.
With that, take care. Going forward, Dr. Sister
Science Facts. And we'll talk at you next week.
You're going to talk at someone? Look, I was
like, we'll see you next week. We won't actually see you.
No, you're saying we're not seeing people. I get it.
But then also, I'm like, we're not talking with you. We're talking at
you. I'm talking with you.
But I talk with you every day.
I talk to you all the time.
Like 16 times a day.